Coming up on this edition of Sports and Stuff, football is back. I'll recap all of week one in the NFL. And speaking of NFL, Antonio Brown signs a massive contract with the Patriots. And by massive, I don't mean in terms of dollars and cents, but he signs a one-year contract with the New England Patriots. Is this a good signing for New England? I'll give my thoughts on that as the podcast goes along. All this and plenty more sports talk coming up on Sports and Stuff, presented here on Exquisite Podcast Radio Network and on the Sports and Stuff app.
You've got to plug into EPRN. We've got the conversation, we've got the sports team, and our music and entertainment team brings podcasting to extremely new heights.
Listen in to EPRN.us. Press the app button on the site and download the EPRN app now. You'll be listening to shows in no time. Take us on the go with you. Our app is accessible on all mobile devices and tablets. Or you can just go to EPRN.us.
Your listening is worth your time.
Spend your time listening to an independently owned media network.
Tell a friend and listen in.
Exquisite Podcast Radio Network, EPRN.
Welcome to Sports and Stuff, everyone. Glad you could join us here this week on the program. And we have got a lot of football talk here to talk about here this week on the show, starting with really the biggest story to come out of the NFL this week, throughout the weekend, Antonio Brown. And boy, what a what a story this has become. Gets signed by the Oakland Raiders in the summer after he leaves Pittsburgh. Gets released by the Raiders on Saturday, and within a matter of hours, signs a one-year contract with the New England Patriots and is now a Patriot. He signed a one-year, $15 million contract with the Patriots. Now, I have some thoughts on this. I have mixed feelings. From a football perspective, wow, what a whale of a signing this is for New England. I mean, they already have a team that could possibly, just by even without Brown, could win a repeat as Super Bowl champions with a great defense. And even though they have an aging quarterback in Tom Brady, who could still play at a high level, and some good receivers. But on the other hand, from a human perspective, it's getting mixed reactions from people, including myself. I mean, Antonio Brown is a very talented football player, but he has a big ego, and he's very selfish. Now, the Patriots have a history, somewhat of a history, of signing players that, I don't want to, maybe aren't necessarily the best team players, but are able to sacrifice some of their ego to help their football team win, and let their talents help the team win. That was the case with Randy Moss. I mean, he was a big superstar, egotistical player that was able to, well, at least initially, you know, kind of hide some of his ego and selfishness, and had a breakout year in 2007 and helped Tom Brady and the Patriots almost go undefeated. You know, he had 23 touchdowns. Brady had 50 touchdown passes that year. It was just an insane year that they both had that year. But this signing, you know, it raises some concerns. The question I have is Antonio Brown capable of putting aside his antics and behaving himself professionally in a way that the Patriots are okay with? I think he's capable of it, but only because of the reputation the Patriots have. And, you know, I don't think Antonio Brown would have signed this if he didn't. I mean, I don't know what went on behind closed doors, because, I mean, I'm not Bill Belichick or Robert Kraft or Antonio Brown himself, but I can only assume that he promised Bill Belichick that he is going to clean up his act and that he is going to do what the Patriots tell him to do, because that's not what he was doing with Oakland. I mean, when he was with Oakland over the summer, you know, in training camp, John Gruden, I mean, it's a completely different organization, but John Gruden enhanced his ego and let him, you know, go crazy and act however he wanted, and that led to tension, and that led to disagreements with the manager, with management, I should say, and it just failed. It crashed and burned. Brown wasn't happy, and they released him right then and there. And literally within less than 24 hours, the Patriots I don't know if he called them or they called him, but whatever it was, they made it happen. And, yeah, I mean, I don't think Brown had a change of heart in one day, but, you know, I think the Patriots were probably his choice all along to go to. He kind of went up about it in a sort of a different way, going from Oakland then to, you know, New England. But still, I mean, like I said, this is a heck of a signing for the Patriots. I mean, fans were not necessarily maybe like excited about it at first, about the possibility, including myself. I didn't think it would be a good fit, given his history and given his personality. I mean, the Patriots are all about, you know, they have a system. You know, they have a team that's very well coached, players that are team players, and you bring in a guy like Brown who has a big ego. You know, I almost sort of think of it as like Kyrie Irving. You know, when he went to the Celtics, it was just a big ego that clashed with a team first attitude, and it didn't work. And he was not able to adjust to that. But can Brown adjust? We'll see. You know, time will tell. But I would think he is if he signed a 1-year contract. I mean, if he's willing to do whatever it takes to help the Patriots win another Super Bowl, you'd figure one of the things he would do is, you know, leave his ego at the door. You know, so it's. I was more shocked than anything else. I think everybody else was just shocked that Brown signed with the Patriots. But hey, it's a great football signing. But it's not I don't know, I wouldn't call it a great personable signing. But hey, if he helps the Patriots win and he's making catches and hooking up with Brady on long touchdown passes, hey, I'm fine with me. I'm happy about it. I can only hope that Brown understands his role with the Patriots. He's not supposed to be a guy that's going to be a celebrity and make it all about him. Okay, he's simply a wide receiver helping a football team win games. And I hope he understands that, and I hope he understands his role and is not a distraction to the team. Because if he is, I'll tell you this right now, it's not going to last long. He won't make it through the whole season if he acts the way he did in Oakland and Pittsburgh. But if he's willing to behave himself a little and he understands what's expected, maybe it'll work out. But still, from a talent perspective, unbelievable signing for the Patriots. Wow, I did not see that coming. I don't think anybody did. Just rocked the NFL world. I mean, I don't want to get overreacted and say that, like, you know, we're going to win the Super Bowl, but they definitely have to say the Patriots are the favorites right now. I mean, it's just week one, but I mean, I don't know who else could contend with the New England and the AFC. I mean, in Kansas City, maybe, I guess, but I don't know. That's either the Chiefs, and then you go to the NFC, you got the Saints and the Rams, who went to the Super Bowl last year. Saints really should have made it there had it not been for a blown pass interference call, or non-call. But so, I mean, it's really only a few teams I could see contending with New England, but New England's definitely the favorites. That's for certain. boy, what an incredible move that was, and an uncharacteristic move by Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick, you know, letting Brown come to the Patriots. Because, you know, like I said, I mean, they have a history of signing some players that are like that, but for the most part, you know, they're not known for that. And if players don't work out that they take a chance on that have failed in other places, they let them go. So, you know, they don't let a bad influence hang around too long. That's why they got rid of Randy Moss. That's why they got rid of Albert Haynesworth, I think, at one point. Darrell Revis worked out for one season and then just left after that. So, I mean, so the Patriots have had a few examples of that, but they're a smart organization. They know what to do. So, can only hope and pray that it works out for Brown and that he cleans up his act. Because, I mean, you know, it's not going to last if he continues to act the way he did before. Okay, it won't work that way. The Patriots are a much better run organization than that. Don't enhance players' personalities or egos. So, you know, as a Patriots fan, I'm very happy about the move, but from a personality standpoint, I'm a little concerned. But hopefully the Patriots will have a good grip on it, and will handle Brown just fine. So they have him in control. They've got him under reins. So we'll see what happens. But I was surprised he did not play in the first game with the Patriots. I thought they would have brought him in right away. But apparently, according to NBC, he was not active initially. So he is not on the active roster at the moment. But by next week, when the Patriots play the Miami Dolphins, he will be on the roster. So he'll make his Patriots debut next week. And that's going to be one a lot of people are going to have their eyes on, I think, if he's going to have a big game or not in terms of receiving yards. I could see him having a big day against the Dolphins. I mean, I'll mention the scores here in a second, but, you know, considering how badly Miami got blown out against Baltimore in their first game, I mean, I think I could see, you know, Brown having a field day against that team. But we'll see. You know, it always depends on matchups week after week. So here's some Week 1 NFL scores for everybody. The first game that was played on Thursday night to open the 100th season of National Football League, the Green Bay Packers beat the Chicago Bears 10-3. And in an AFC East matchup, the Bills beat the Jets 17-16 by 1 point. And believe it or not, the Buffalo Bills turned over the ball 4 times and were down 16-0, down 16 points, and came back to win that game despite 4 turnovers. Can you believe that? I mean, anytime a team turns the ball over 4 times, you expect them to get blown up by at least 20 or 30 points. But the Jets don't have much of an offense, and, well, neither do the Bills. But they scored just enough to beat the Jets 17-16. And the Dallas Cowboys crushed the New York Giants 35-17. Dak Prescott had a big day. Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 31-17. Like I just said, the Ravens destroyed the Dolphins in Miami. Baltimore beats them 59-10. I think that's their most number of points the Ravens have ever scored in a game, if I'm not mistaken. The Philadelphia Eagles beat the Washington Redskins 32-27. The Redskins got off to a good start in that game, but Carson Wentz heated up. You know, he's a great quarterback, so he turned that game around for the Eagles. Scott scored them 32-3 throughout the second to the fourth quarter, I believe, so they win 32-27. Rams beat the Carolina Panthers. L.A. wins their first game 30-27. Chargers beat the Colts in overtime. They win that 30-24. The Colts don't have much of a quarterback right now. They're kind of lost, as far as I'm concerned. Seattle beats the Bengals 21-20. They win by 1 point over Cincinnati, so the Seahawks are 1-0. And the Lions and the Cardinals, Detroit and Arizona, ended up finishing in a tie. That is the first time in 45 years since 1974 where one game, the season opening game, is a tie for anybody. So that is definitely a first to have happened. And as I'm recording the show, I have my TV on mute, but I'm just receiving breaking news right now as I speak. Believe it or not, Dave Dombrowski is out. He is no longer the president of the Boston Red Sox. He's no longer the head of baseball operations. Assistant general manager Eddie Romero will take over as head of baseball operations. So Dave Dombrowski is out. Wow, I did not see that coming. I thought he would be there till the end of the season. I'll give my thoughts on them more as they develop here over the course of the podcast here as we go along. But just breaking news coming in right now. Sorry, I didn't mean to, you know, get away from the football there for a second. But the Red Sox have lost the 2 out of the 3 games so far in their 4-game series at home. Their last series against the Yankees this year, and have just been going in the wrong direction. I mean, they come into this week, you know, they having to win a bunch of their games against the Minnesota Twins and the Yankees. And they have not done that. And it looks like their season is just maybe, well, I hate to say it, but it may be over. Unless they go on a tear and win like 10 or 15 in a row. But I just don't see that happening with the pitching they have. So I'll get back to that in a minute, but I'll finish going over some scores here. But like I said, the Detroit Lions and Arizona Cardinals end in a tie on a season-opening game for the first time in 45 years in the NFL since 1974. So you can literally say, I haven't seen that since Gerald Ford was president. Yeah, Dennis, so kind of imitating Dennis Miller there for a second. He announced one season of football, and wasn't very good. Good talk show host Dennis Miller is, but not a good football announcer. Yeah. So anyway, so that was the case with that. It was a tie between those two teams. The Chiefs destroy the Jacksonville Jaguars 40-26. Nick Foles injures his clavicle and had to come out of the game. He is going to have surgery on Monday. It is not yet determined what his timetable will be. So, oh boy, what a blow that is for the Jaguars. I mean, comes over, signs a big contract with Jacksonville, expected to be their guy, and now he gets hurt in the first game. Boy, what a crushing loss this is going to be for Jacksonville. If he's out for any length of time, just kills him. Really does. But the Chiefs start off great. Patrick Mahomes is going to pick up right where he left off. Had 50 touchdowns last year, and boy, that guy's going to have a great career. I mean, he really is. And a couple other scores here to get to. The Vikings beat the Falcons 28-12. Minnesota's 1-0. And a shocking blowout. The Tennessee Titans destroy the Cleveland Browns 43-13. I thought that would be a much more closer, compelling game than it ended up being. The Cleveland Browns haven't won an opening day game in at least 15 years. They're 0-14-1 in their last 15 openers. And this is supposed to be a big year for Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns. This is a year everybody's expecting them to have a really good year and make the playoffs. I mean, I hope this first game is not an indication of what's to come. I mean, it's just a sloppy game. They turn the ball over too many times. Mayfield had a few interceptions. Just bad defense. Not a good game. And the only good thing about the game was the way it started for Cleveland. They had a good opening drive. They got a touchdown. But they missed the extra point. And after they missed the extra point on their touchdown to start the game, it was literally all Tennessee after that. Really, I mean, just all Titans. Not good from the Cleveland Browns. I mean, I'm expecting them to go to the playoffs. And considering the way they were last season with a strong finish at the end, I'm expecting great things. So they actually have, you know, a vision. Now they have some higher expectations. They've got a good quarterback in Baker Mayfield. They just got to win, you know, and if they can get, I'd be happy if they get at least 8 or 9 wins. If they get 8 or 9 wins, if they go 8-8 this year, I'd be happy about that. I mean, I think they're trying to plan ahead for the future and not just, you know, this season. It's funny, teams always say, like, oh, we'll make the playoffs next year. And when people hear that, they think, oh, we can take them lightly, and then they surprise you with how good they are. So it's kind of a little mental trick that some coaches will use, some, you know, general managers will use. But still, I mean, hey, I expect the Browns to be a surprise this year. I say they'll get a wild card. I think they can actually get one of those wild cards this year. And I hope that stays true and they don't suffer badly. So I'll say they end up, I'll say between 7 and 9 wins. And I think they'll be okay. But I could see them. I see them trending in the right direction, though. I really do. They're not the same team that's going to go 0-16 or 1-15 like before. So they're going to be okay, I think. They'll hang around. And on the Sunday night game, the Patriots destroy the Pittsburgh Steelers 33-3. Not a good game for the Steelers in any facet. Roethlisberger it's not that he was that bad. It's just the Patriots were that good in every aspect. Tom Brady had 3 passing touchdowns, over 300 yards. Like I said, Antonio Brown didn't make his debut. He wasn't on the active roster. But what a start to the Patriots. They play like Super Bowl champions. I mean, they really did. The night where they raised the banner at Gillette Stadium, everybody's excited about it. They played like it, too. They were ready for prime time. And as they referred to on Saturday Night Live back in the day, the not-yet-ready-for-prime-time players. That's kind of what I think of the Pittsburgh Steelers. They were not ready for prime time, or not yet ready for prime time, anyway. This not a good opening day game for the opening night game, I should say, for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Lost by 30 points. Goodness, they were down 20-0 at halftime. I just knew it was our night. And everyone had a good game for the Patriots. I mean, Sony Michel didn't have, he was probably the only one that didn't put up any sort of big numbers, but I mean, every receiver was clicking. I mean, Julian Edelman, Philip Dorsett, Rex Burkhead, Josh Gordon looked good. I mean, you know, Antonio Brown's going to make him get better to go along with a pretty great defense the Patriots have, you know, with the McCourty brothers and, who else they have on that defense? Stephon Gilmore, you know, in the secondary. I mean, this team is loaded. And to think that this team, you know, had concerns about their receivers when Rob Gronkowski retired, I think Antonio Brown solved all that, I think, over the last 24 hours. Because and Demaryius Thomas, can't forget Thomas as well. Demaryius Thomas is going to help that team. I mean, he's an aging receiver, but he can still play. So, yeah, this is going to – I wouldn't be surprised if the Patriots rattle off several wins in a row here. This is going to start to remind people of 2007 when they went 16-0 and they were just loaded with talent. So, I mean, is it too early to say the Patriots will go 16-0? It'll be interesting. I don't know. They got a lot of weaker teams that they're facing in the first half of the year. They got the Miami Dolphins next week, and then they got the Buffalo and the Jets after that. So I mean, the first half of their season, they're not facing a single team that went to the playoffs last year. In the first half, the second half they got some better teams, but the first half they're not facing anybody all that good. So I can see them going like 7-0 or 8-0 out of the gate. I mean, I really do. It's a matter of, you know, how many points can they run away with. How many they can beat a team by. The Patriots play the way they did against the Steelers on their opening night. I mean, they're going to be the team to beat. Them and Kansas City will be like 1-2, like last year. So it's really a two-team race as far as I'm concerned in the AFC. Tennessee will be okay. I mean, hopefully the Cleveland Browns will, you know, have a solid season, but yeah, it's really between the Patriots and the Chiefs, but it's really going to be, the Patriots. I mean, Brown just completely sets them apart. You know, it's funny, I went to a job fair over the weekend, and I connected with a guy that was a big sports fan, loves the Boston teams. As soon as he heard that, you know, Brown was going to the Patriots, he put on his Facebook, he said, "Goodbye, AFC." And he thinks it's over with before it starts. I mean, you still have to play the games, but I mean, on paper, I think the Patriots are just—I just don't see how they could lose. I mean, they got the best defense they are now. They got an improved offense, and it's only going to get better with Antonio Brown and Demaryius Thomas. Good running game with Sony Michel. Tom Brady can still play at age 42. I mean, this team is—I mean, how can they not lose? Or I mean, you know what I'm saying? How can they lose? I mean, that's what I meant to say. I mean, they're just loaded and stacked. I mean, it's just. This is crazy what's happened, you know, in the last 24 hours, really, over the weekend. So that's the way it looks right now for the Patriots. I think they're the team to beat, we'll see what happens. You know, still got to play it out, but I'm saying it right now, I wouldn't be surprised if they make a run at going 16-0. I honestly they have tougher games later in the year, so maybe they might lose one there. But I mean, I could see them going 7-0 or 8-0. I mean, at least. So, we'll see how the season progresses. But boy, it's going to be really exciting for the Patriots. They've got about as just as good of a chance as any to defend their Super Bowl title and go back to back. So it's going to be exciting. That's for sure. And a couple more games to get to here on Monday Night Football. Texans versus Saints. That should be a good one, Monday night in New Orleans. And, Monday Night Football always has a doubleheader to start their season for some reason every year. They do that, and then the game after that will be the Broncos and the Raiders. Not nearly as exciting, but we'll see. John Gruden, hopefully he'll... I mean, now that Antonio Brown's out of the way, hopefully he can maybe just focus on getting his guys to play good football. They still got Derek Carr. He can still play, so hopefully he'll play more like he did two seasons ago and not like he did last year. And so we got those games to look forward to on Monday night. And when we come back, I'll talk more about the Dave Dombrowski move that just underwent and what this means for the Red Sox as they end the season. More sports and stuff after these messages. Proud sponsor of Sports and Stuff, Harold's Ice Cream has over 400 original flavors to select from. Best of all, Harold's is kosher certified, no moo or artificial ingredients. Harold's also makes ice cream cakes with real cake centers, and they also ship their frozen treats to customers. Harold's Ice Cream makes treats like frozen yogurt, sherbet, brownies, cookies, pies, and cakes. Harold's does it all to satisfy that sweet, healthy, to treat craving. They cater events for 70 people or more, and they ship their kosher treats by mail. Call Harold's Ice Cream today at 413-586-9700 and visit harolds.com. Welcome back to Sports and Stuff. You're listening to SNS on the EPRN Network, Exquisite Podcast Radio Network, and the Sports and Stuff app, as well as SoundCloud. So many different ways you can listen wherever you are. Hopefully you subscribe to the app where you're listening to EPRN. And as we move along here, we'll get into some local sports a little later on in the show. I'm going to mention a little bit about the local teams now that football's back up and running. But I want to talk about the Dave Dombrowski news I mentioned earlier. He is no longer the head of baseball operations. Eddie Romero, the assistant general manager, has taken over. I mean, you know, this says a lot about where the Red Sox are at as an organization. I mean, they've given up on Dombrowski. They don't trust him, clearly. I did not like some of the moves he's made over the last couple of years. Even though the Red Sox won the World Series last year, and it was a magical year, the thing with Dombrowski that bothers me is, especially this season, he gave up on the team. He didn't go out and get another bullpen reliever or a starter. He had faith in his guys that they could, you know, go on a run in the second half and, you know, and make a run at the playoffs. And right now, it doesn't look like they're going to, you know, make it. And it's disappointing. It's just a disappointing year for Boston. Where does this mean for the Red Sox? Where do they go from here? Well, I mean, I can't sit here and tell you who they're going to get in the offseason, but I know that I'm pretty sure that they're going to go after someone that's experienced and, you know, doesn't put as much stock into their starting pitchers like Dombrowski did. Because that was the problem with Dave Dombrowski. He paid way too much money to Rick Porcello and... to Chris Sale. The whole Chris Sale contract extension, that was just very ill-advised, very badly timed. It looks so bad on Dombrowski that Sale has had to, you know, had been so bad this year and had, had an inflammation in his elbow. That just, you know, that makes a GM look so bad. You know, you give a five-year extension to Chris Sale and he just wasn't good this year. And then he gets hurt to end it. So, I mean, overall, the whole team just makes Dave Dombrowski look bad. And, I mean, I could see why they made the move they did Sunday night to, you know, not to let him continue running the team anymore. I mean, they clearly, you know, they don't trust him. I think it's sad. He's been fired. It's tough, you know. This team's not trending in the right direction. I mean, Alex Cora has now been forced to have to... I mean, they don't even have much in the way of starting pitching because David Price and Chris Sale have been hurt. And that forced Cora to have to get more bullpen relievers because they pretty much use a lot of bullpens... a lot of relievers that they piece together. I mean, outside of really Eduardo Rodriguez, they don't really have much of a rotation right now. I mean, Chris Sale's hurt. David Price is still hurt. Rick Porcello's been very inconsistent. It's really just piecing together a bullpen, and I don't think that's a recipe for success. If you're Dave Dombrowski, you got to be really disappointed and just, you know, sad, really. Just a year ago, I mean, you win a World Series, you know, it was just a magical year, and now he's gone. That shows you the expectations that, you know, the Red Sox organization, really all Boston sports fans and organizational members have, no matter what team you're in. You have to win consistently, or if you don't win in this town, you will not have a job. And it's amazing we've had so much stability with coaches and managers and, you know, over the years. We've been spoiled, really. it doesn't surprise me. I don't think Dombrowski made the best moves. The Red Sox, you know, if they could have played better, I mean, they could have at least managed – the beginning of the season better. I don't think Alex Cora handled them coming well after coming out of spring training. He didn't want to overwork guys, but at the same time, he gave them too many days off. And when they had to pitch in April in high-stress situations, they weren't ready for it. I mean, really what it comes down to is how they started the season, and then when the Red Sox had an 8-game losing streak in August, that I knew it was bad at that point. And it was just too big of a hole to climb out of. I'm not saying it's over. They're not mathematically eliminated, but it's probably only a matter of time before they will be, unless they go on like a winning streak. But they'd have to pass two teams at least to get into the second wild card spot, and I don't think I see that happening at this point. They don't have much starting pitching, and they have to rely too much on their bullpen, and guys are going to get tired if you do that. It's just not going to work.
There's a lot of other things about the Red Sox I'll get to here in just a couple minutes here, but I just thought I'd mention that news. Yeah, Dave Dombrowski has been fired as the president of baseball operations for the Boston Red Sox. Boy, that's just what a blow that is. It shows you where how bad things have gone this year for the Red Sox. I mean, things just haven't gone their way. Nothing's worked out for them. They have to get rid of Dombrowski now. What a shame. Yeah, so a lot of uncertainty, I think, is in the future of the Red Sox as far as leadership goes. I mean, I think Eddie Romero will do a decent... I mean, he's pretty much cleaning up the mess that Dombrowski left, so I don't really put the blame on him. He's just, standing in place until they can find someone new. But, wouldn't it be crazy if they got Theo Epstein? I mean, if things don't work out this year with the Cubs, they don't, go on a deep playoff run. Wouldn't it be wild if he came back to the Red Sox? That'd be interesting. I'd love it if he came back. That'd be really awesome. He's had success everywhere he's went with the Red Sox or the Cubs, so I'd be happy to have him back. But we'll see what happens. I mean, Dombrowski's gone, so hey, maybe this opens up the door for Theo Epstein to come back. I mean, enough time has moved on from the Terry Francona days where, with how things ended there in 2011. So it's been 8 years, so why not come back? Maybe it's time. Yeah, I'll say that. I think they'll go after Theo Epstein, assuming he wants to leave the Cubs. So we'll see. All right, so we've touched up on that, and now next thing I wanted to mention, now that I'm thinking of a little bit of baseball with Dave Dombrowski, is once I think of it, I was it just escaped my mind. what was I gonna say? Bear with me here. Dave Dombrowski and Theo Epstein, and then I was gonna mention this. Oh yes, Mookie Betts. And then J.D. Martinez. Sorry, Nick, I just remember what I was going to say now. One of the biggest questions the Red Sox are going to have this offseason with whoever's running the team is, can they keep Mookie Betts? It's going to be tough because first they have to determine if J.D. Martinez wants to opt out of his contract. I mean, I don't really see anybody else that he could go to. I mean, he's a DH. He's in his early 30s. I mean, he's not an everyday player in the field, so he would really have to stay in the American League and be a designated hitter. And I mean, I don't know any other teams that would want JD Martinez, so as long as he doesn't opt out of his contract, I think he'll stay with the Red Sox. I would think he would. He loves playing here. I mean, he's hit at least 35 home runs the first two seasons, 43 home runs last year. And he's on pace to driving over 100 RBI this year, so I mean, it makes sense that he stays with the Red Sox. I think he will. He likes it here, so and the fans love him. I love him, so I don't see why he would leave. So I think there's a good chance he'll stay. The question is, do the Red Sox have enough money to sign Mookie Betts to a long-term contract? Because he becomes a free agent after next season in 2020, and I don't know if the Red Sox have enough to be able to pay him. They may not have enough. They may have to just let him walk away as a free agent. Maybe he'll ask for a contract somewhere else He's got 1 year left on his deal, and he's making $20 million this year. So will they, I don't know, will Mookie Betts be here next year? Possibly. But will he have a contract extension? I don't know. It's going to be tough for them to give him anything because he's probably going to ask for a lot of money. I mean, they gave Bryce Harper and Manny Machado over $300 million, and Mookie may want something close to that. But if he's willing to stay with the Red Sox and be surrounded by a championship-caliber team, then maybe he'll take less money. I don't know. But it's going to be a very interesting offseason for the Red Sox. You know, who they get is a... First of all, I mean, now they got another thing to deal with the Dave Dombrowski thing. Then they got to decide about Mookie Betts, J.D. Martinez... first base, second base, with, is Pedroia coming back? Who's going to play second? Is it going to be Michael Chavez? Who's going to play first? Will it be Mitch Moreland again? They've got Rafael Devers and Xander Bogaerts locked up long term, so I'm not worried about them. But the catcher, Christian Vasquez was not expected to be as good as he's been this year. He's on pace to get between 20 to 25 home runs. Can he do that again every season? I mean, this is the best year he's had offensively, so I don't know. I mean, will Sandy Leon be back? Will Rick Porcello be back? I mean, there's some big, bad contracts. A lot of money, a lot of long-term investment into some of these guys, and it hasn't worked out with Porcello and Chris Sale's been, had a bad year this year. So a lot of uncertainty going into the offseason for the Red Sox. We were expected to do a lot better. The Yankees are going to run away with the division. The Astros are going to run away with their division. The Astros scored 21 runs on Sunday. That's incredible. 21-1, they beat the Mariners by it. Houston's going to look awfully dangerous in the playoffs. I don't see if anybody's going to beat, Verlander, Gerrit Cole, and Zach Greinke. That's an incredible threesome. So we'll see what happens. I'd say Houston's definitely the team to beat. I'm not sold on the Yankees starting pitching. They might get past the first round, but I don't see them coming out of the American League. It's going to be tough for them to beat Houston. I think Houston's got the better starting pitching. Yankees and the Astros have about equally as good of an offense, but I'd say the pitching, the Astros have a little better quality pitching. So my pick would be Houston to go to the World Series in the American League, and I'd say them against the Dodgers. It'll come down to the Dodgers and the Braves for the pennant, and Dodgers will win it. So that's what I'm thinking. And whoever wins the Central and in the American League and National League, it's probably not going to make a difference. They're probably not going to go far anyway. And Cleveland, the Cleveland Indians are hanging around, and they might get a wild card, and the Twins might win the division or vice versa. But I don't think either one of those teams is talented enough to beat either Houston or New York. I just don't see that. And Tampa, I don't see the Rays making a run at it either. They'll get the one-game wild card game, and they'll lose or if they do win it and get to the first round, they'll lose in the division series. I'm not sold on that team. They've been good, but they just don't have enough talent to win. So. That's what I think. All right. So with that, we'll take another break here. And when we come back, we'll talk some local sports here in Western Massachusetts. I'll talk about some of the local teams and the opportunities I've got to broadcast some of them. We'll be back with more sports and stuff on EPRN and the app right after this. Village Pizza is the family-owned East Hampton, Massachusetts establishment that has been serving the local community for over 40 years. Well known for their delicious Greek-style pizza pies and the best local spot to go hang out and watch a Celtics, Bruins, Red Sox, or Patriots game. Village Pizza, 100 Union Street, East Hampton. Welcome back. Sports and Stuff is right back at you here on the app and on the EPRN as well. Wherever you're listening to, hope you're enjoying yourself. John Meisner here with you. And now we're going to talk some local sports here on my end in Western Massachusetts. I've been getting very, very sought after sort of opportunities lately in terms of broadcasting. I recently announced a local football game that featured the Frontier Regional High School Redhawks against the Belchertown Orioles. And it was Frontier's season opening game, and it was just a tough game for them to lose, because not only did they lose the game, they lost it with a low-scoring game. They lost 8-7 to Belchertown. But more importantly, two of their key players got hurt very badly. Ito McMillan, I think is how you say his name. Yeah, Ito's his nickname. He has a much more difficult name, first name, that is his real first name. But he goes by Ito, so I'll just call him Ito McMillan. He injured his left arm in that game, had to come out. And just the worst thing to see that day, Ethan Michon, who is one of the players on the Fred Hawks, suffered a very serious neck injury. What happened was he slipped as he was going to make a tackle, and he got tackled as he was getting slipped. And the way he hit the ground was just devastating. He was getting tackled as he was slipping and hurt his neck, and an ambulance had to come onto the field and take him to the hospital. Just have to hope it's not anything too serious, but it was frightening. I mean, it was just, everybody was so worried about the health of Ethan Michon. My best thoughts and prayers go out to him and his family. I hope he's doing okay and recovering at the hospital, but still, just a tough thing to see, suffer a neck injury like that. So Frontier lost two key players in their first game. But I will say this, their defense played very well. They played excellent defensively. Offensively, like I said, they had a couple of injuries, so that was, they had a hard time adjusting without them mentally, I think. Just wasn't, wasn't something they could have done anything about. It was just, they had a couple of injuries. So tough first game for them that they lost, but they, at least they played well defensively, and then they definitely, came to play. They play with effort, but just the injuries kind of, hurt them, literally. But still, I will say this, from my perspective announcing the game, I had a lot of fun. I got to announce it with a high school kid named Joe Thompson from Frontier Regional High School. Good kid, sounded very smart, very well spoken, gave good commentary. I was impressed with his commentary during the game. I put the link up on the Sports and Stuff page on my Facebook. You can always go there and listen to it. You'll notice the audio is a little weak in terms of Joe's end of things, so you can't always hear him. But you can hear me, perfectly. But they didn't have his microphone turn up loud enough on his end, so you don't hear him as well. You hear him a little better later in the game, but early on, it's kind of hard to hear him. So I apologize for the audio's the problem there, but you hear me just fine, and so you won't have to worry about that. But overall, it was a fun game, a close game, but it was very exciting. But yeah, a little bit a little scary with the ambulance coming onto the field. But overall, I enjoyed my first football game. I got to do lead play-by-play with Joe, like I said, from the high school. I was supposed to announce the game with a man named Chris Collins, who runs the station the game was broadcast on, but he wasn't able to make it because he got busy. So they left me in charge, which I certainly didn't mind. I got to do play-by-play for once, which was fun. It's funny. It was kind of embarrassing. Before the game started, they performed the national anthem from the press box, and it was kind of windy that day, and I had the roster for one of the teams, and the wind was blowing inside with the wind, and the windows were open. So as soon as they started playing the anthem, this is embarrassing. My roster knocked over the microphone stand. It didn't knock it off the table I was sitting at, but it knocked it on its side, and the music just came to an abrupt stop. You hear da 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 da, and then nothing happened. I'm just like, uh-oh, and they were trying to get it to work again, and they couldn't, and so somebody held up their phone to the speaker to play the anthem from it, and that wasn't working, and so they just kind of had to end it there and just say, thank you, and now we'll be starting the game. They play 10 seconds of the anthem, and then it was kind of embarrassing, but it was kind of funny. I mentioned it on the air, too. I was joking around about it. But overall, me and Joe had a good time. We enjoyed each other's company. We had a good time calling the game. So it was good. And I think Chris Collins was definitely impressed with us both. So it was nice. And I would not mind working with Joe again in the future. If I got the opportunity to. But still, I mean, you know, you never know what's going to happen for, you know, for football games. You never know what's going to happen in terms of, you know, the plays they call, or if injuries happen, or what happens, you know, off the air. But I certainly didn't expect to interrupt the national anthem. I mean, it happened completely accidental. It was just windy. It just kind of happened on its own, you know. But it was kind of hard doing a game with one roster. One team had a roster ready to go that I looked at. The other team had no roster at all. But it was strange because the public address announcer at the field had a roster for Belchertown for the Orioles, but I didn't have one. So I had to ask him a couple times who people were. So yeah, I was a tad bit unprepared, but still, it was only the first game. The teams weren't sure what their roster was going to be, so that's why one of them didn't have one. So that's why if you listen to the game, that's why I don't always know who the players are. I'm saying number one for Belchertown gets tackled. Like, I guess I didn't know who it was. I had no roster in front of me, so that's why I don't always call them on their names, because like, I didn't know who anybody was on the other team. Yeah, I'm not even sure the coaches knew who anybody was, because that's how unsure they were about who their team was, you know, that early in the season. But as the year goes on, I'll be sure to get more acquainted with the names of the players. But overall, not too bad of a first game I did as doing play by play. I was very excited about it. So this is a little bit what I did, and I'll be doing many more football games throughout the fall months on Greenfield Community Television. I'll be doing it with Bobby C. and Chris Collins occasionally, but mostly with Bobby C. We'll be announcing a lot of Greenfield High School games, other teams in the area as well. So it should be fun. It should be exciting. I'm definitely looking forward to it. And yeah, I may even put some. What I'm gonna try to do, if, you know, assuming I, you know, don't get busy after the game, is I'll try to interview some of the kids afterwards if they want to stick around. You know, maybe get a quick interview, and I'll get it up on the app here as well. I'll get it up on our extra interviews in terms of our exclusive content we have on the app. And you get to hear from them a little bit. So, should be good. Should be good. All right. So, with that, we'll take another break here and get back to more sports and stuff after this. You're listening to Sports and Stuff on EPRN.
Too much buzz in the air. Listen in to What's the Buzz on EPRN. Sit back and reflect with tunes from the good old days on Reflections, hosted by Cedric Clark on EPRN. Be sure to rock on with Everyone's Rock. Exquisite Podcast Radio Network has a variety of podcast radio programs for listeners all across the globe. Take the journey, the hip-hop and R&B journey with Greg H., or awaken and take notice to the events in your communities with Purposely Awakened, hosted by Naomi Bondman. Hang out with the gents and listen to the Elite Gents podcast. And for better results, listen in to Revealing Better Results. For sports, check out Foltzy's Corner, Sports and Stuff, hosted by John Meisner, and PSA, Prodigy Sportative Attestations. Tell a friend and listen in via EPRN's web app at app.eprn.us and listen in online at www.eprn.us.
We are back here on Sports and Stuff. Already covered quite a bit here on the show this week. And what I was mentioning a minute ago about, you know, the Frontier Redhawks, they'd actually gone 6-5 last year, but had made the playoffs, which is surprising. You don't expect a team that's just barely above 500 to get in, but I think just based on the way the seedings work and the structure of the, you know, overall playoff format, they were able to get in. Gone to the playoffs 5 years in a row. So see if they can make it six in a row this year. But yeah, Ito McMillan and who's it? Jake Samisky, I think is how you say his name, or Samalski. You'll hear it on the broadcast if you listen on the Sports and Stuff page. But this is number 19 for the Frontier Redhawks. They've got some good players. They got some good captains. Play good defense. I'm sure on a better day when they're not getting hurt, they have a better offense than that. But it should be fun. Something about football and the cool air. As fall comes, it gets you excited. It gets you ready for some football. That's what I like about this time of year. Football. Autumn's coming. Weather's gonna get cooler. Fall activities, apple picking, pumpkin picking, stuff like that's just nice. I think of all the times to visit New England, I think fall is probably the best time. Yeah, if you're ever visiting Massachusetts or up in the Northeast someday, the fall is the best time to visit. But don't come in the winter because winters are terrible. Summers are too hot and humid. Unless you want to come in nice weather, that's up to you. But in spring, we don't really have much spring. We just kind of go from winter to summer every year. We just kind of skip over spring. We have long winters and just as long summers. So, yeah, I think fall is probably the best time. Definitely in September, October, November. That's the best time to come up here, I think, if you wanted to. As far as the show is concerned, definitely try to add more content in the future. Again, as long as I can, get kids available after the games are over that I'm going to announce for Greenfield Community Television, you'll get to hear a little bit of it from them about how excited they were about their team. So we will see what happens as far as that goes. But again, I'm very excited about my future as far as opportunities announcing games for Greenfield Community Television and for Frontier Community Access. Get more opportunities to call many games, hopefully, in the future and add to my resume. And so, on that note, I think we'll call it a show here. So I want to thank everybody for listening this week. Be sure to listen for more content in the future on the Sports and Stuff app and on EPRN, as well as SoundCloud. So, for everybody involved with this one, I'm John Meisner. I want to thank you all for listening this week. And we'll be back again next week with more sports and entertainment, some of the best sports and entertainment content on the internet. And next week will be the first week that a couple of my favorite TV shows will get underway, Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy. So I'll be sure to have a little bit of stuff to say about them. All the TV shows are getting started up again. Football's back. So plenty more stuff to talk about here in the future. That's why I'm so glad summer's coming to an end. I can have more stuff to talk about here on the show here. So we'll be back next week with more sports entertainment content right here on Sports and Stuff. This is John Meisner signing off of the Sports and Stuff app and EPRN saying, take care, everybody. Get out there and enjoy the fall. So long.